this is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Beginning today, we are coming to you twice a week, Monday and Thursday mornings at 9:20. Over the next several weeks, we will be hearing from the candidates who are running in contested primaries for State House, Senate, and Congress in Southwest Michigan. Coming up, we'll hear from John Bison, who is running for the Republican nomination in the 62nd House District. That includes Battle Creek. But first, a Democratic primary for State House. Dave Buskirk is a longtime Kalamazoo County Commissioner. He's now seeking the Democratic nomination for State House in Michigan's 60th District. That is currently represented by Democrat Sean McCann, who is running for State Senate. Dave Buskirk, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you. It's enjoyable to be here, and I appreciate you having this time.
Yvonne Zipp of the Kalamazoo Gazette is also joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, Gordon.
And we'll begin, Dave Buskirk, by having you briefly introduce yourself to the audience. Tell us why you're running for State House.
Sure, Gordon. Thank you. Again, I am Dave Buskirk. I'm a 10-term county commissioner here in Kalamazoo County from the southeast side of the city. Millwood area is where I live. I am a lifelong resident of Kalamazoo, been here my whole life. I grew up in the Edison neighborhood. We knew it as Washington Square back then, and moved to the Millwood neighborhood when I got married. And I've got my wife, Tony, of 40 years, two lovely daughters, son-in-laws, and four grandchildren right now. As I said, I've been on the county board for 20 years. I'm a graduate of a local apprenticeship school here in town, so when it comes to education issues, I'm a strong proponent of not necessarily do you all have to go to a four-year college. I'm a product of what I consider a very good training facility and training program. I've been on the board serving as chair or vice chair for the last 10 years. So half of that time I've been in a leadership role, sharing those leadership roles with others on the board. So it's been a great time in my life moving through these last 20 years, but it started before that. It started about 25 years ago when the county had decided to consider extending the runway at the airport, and they had a curfew at the time, and they still do, by the way, of how the big, noisy, loud jets couldn't fly at certain times. And we garnered about 200 people in my front yard to talk about that, and that's how I got involved with politics starting about that long ago. And then I got appointed to the airport advisory board. And in fact, we encouraged the airport to have local residents from neighborhoods, both in Portage and Kalamazoo, as appointees on that board at the time. And then from that, when the county board seat came open, I decided to run for it.
Okay. Let's get to some questions. Yvonne, first one for Dave Buskirk.
So you've been a county commissioner since 1995. What's inspiring you to throw your hat in the ring for the State House?
Well, first of all, I am retired now from the electrical industry, semi-retired. And not only do I have the time, but I think it's everybody's, and I know this is a cliche everybody uses, but it's everybody's responsibility to buy into your community and serve your community and pay it back as well as you can. And this was a natural fit for me. The constituents have placed me in the position I'm in for the last 20 years because they trust me. And I think there's a lot of that leadership capability and trust that I can take to Lansing and from day one start working together with people I already know in Lansing. And the learning curve perhaps is not quite as long. We do know a lot of people in Lansing and have worked closely with some on some issues, but the one that comes to mind is I actually worked with our couple of state reps on when they passed the tattoo ordinance regarding licensing of tattoo parlors, and then we had to go back and convince the state that they needed to send the money back here and not keep it in the state. So I guess that's a lot of it, why I want to run. I think perhaps, you know, we need good policy in Lansing. We don't need rushed policy. We need policies to retain and create jobs. And, of course, we need policies that support our education funding, whether it's pre-K, K through 12, or higher ed, like here at Western. And I also want to focus on issues that are going to positively impact the least fortunate of our communities, and that being the seniors and the less fortunate, the lower income people. So, and the one thing that everybody wants to work on is our roads and our infrastructure. So,
what would be the Dave Buskirk plan for long-term funding of Michigan roads, and how do you get the money?
Okay, you get the money through taxes. That's the only way you get the money. And I'll answer you right now. Am I in favor of a gas tax hike to in order to better our roads? Yes, if we sit down and work through it step by step and not do what I consider ill-conceived, quick legislation and policy in order to get things done. This last bill that came out of the Senate, I believe, was a 10-bill package in order to get road funding restructured to a point where it would be about half enough money to fix our roads and keep them up. Why? Because for every action, there's a reaction. If you're spending 6%, if there's a 6% sales tax on gas that goes into education, which there is now, then they need to do something different than just throw another tax at the cars, at the gas tax, in order to make it feasible, because they're going to affect other things. Everything they do affects something else, and most people don't even realize it. You know, there's a 6% wholesale tax on fuel that goes to the schools. It has nothing to do with the roads.
So should that be changed? Should gas tax money goes to roads?
Exactly.
But then you got to find
the difference. That's where you have to sit down and each silo, you know, if they're connected now because of bad legislation in the past, where somebody reached in and grabbed something here to help this out over here. I know the legislators probably thought they were doing a good thing, putting a tax on gas to run the schools. But in effect, now as you go to change your gas tax structure, your infrastructure funding, now you're going to affect the school funding too. So they should, in my opinion, they should be separate, but it's going to take a lot to get there. And we're going to have to sit down, and that's why where I come from is we have to sit down and work together on this. We can't just be divisive in Lansing all the time. You got to be able to cross over there and figure out what it is they really want and build a relationship and try and get the consensus built that it takes to get that done. I just think it's bizarre that it takes 10 bills to get road funding done.
Yvonne?
You've mentioned education funding. What would you know, if you could wave a magic wand, what would you like to see happen to education funding? I'm interested in both K-12, preschool, higher ed.
Right.
I mean, what do you think needs to happen?
Well, it's again, it goes back to funding and responsibilities of where those funds come from and the pots of money that they get their funding from. I mean, they all three get them from different places. Pre-K, I think last year was fully funded is for this area. K through 12, you know, as the cuts to education have taken place over the last few years, what's happened is the state, even though they're sending the money back here, they're shifting the responsibility of the legacy costs and everything to local school boards and our local areas. Thus, the dollars don't get to the classroom. Okay, the dollars are spent taking care of costs that should be taken care of probably by the state on the lead end, so we can put the dollars back into the classroom locally. I've said there's the core merit curriculum that's out there right now is a start, but it's got to leave enough flexibility for the local boards and local teachers to input into the classroom what they need. It cookie cutter approaches don't work. Everybody's different. You know, every blade of grass has a different DNA, and every child, every student, every adult that wants to go back to school is different. So the programs can't be cut and dried established, I think, the curriculum. I think there has to be enough flexibility to allow, whether it's preschool, whether it's K through 12, or whether it's higher ed. Now, they all get their money from different places. Higher ed gets it from the general fund. Every time the general fund gets a ding, higher ed gets a ding, and they're forced to raise their tuition to cover those costs, so that gap gets bigger and bigger all the time between what it is it actually costs and what it is that the students can pay and what they get back from the state. So I just think that it's an opportunity to be able to say, you know, if we're going to raise funding and we're going to do funding for education and leave it at education, just like the gas tax issue. If we're going to raise funds for the roads, leave it there. Don't take money away from it. I was with a meeting last week where we said we need our roads fixed, and Fred Upton said, yeah, we do. But our trust fund, the highway trust fund's at zero. And why is it at zero? Because they've taken money out of it over the years and used it for something it wasn't supposed to be used for. Trust funds are entrusted to whatever it is you place them there for. So,
this is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. We're speaking with Dave Buskirk. He is a candidate for the Democratic nomination in Michigan's 60th State House District and a longtime Kalamazoo County Commissioner. Yvonne Zipp of the Kalamazoo Gazette is also here. Yvonne?
When it comes to, you're talking about working across the aisle and building consensus, this is obviously not something specific to Michigan. It appears to be a national issue.
Yeah.
In terms of polarization. How does one person affect that that kind of change that you're talking about?
Well, you're looking at one who affected the change here in the county. So I think if you take the feeling that you can make a difference, that you do make a difference with either your leadership skills or your experience and your integrity. If you can make a difference to one more person in Lansing, and they make a difference to each one, makes one more difference, it doesn't take long to understand that this is consensus building, and it is good to do that. Your values, you don't have to sacrifice your values to do it. I won't. I won't sacrifice my organized labor values or my Democratic values to do it. I'll still be a progressive Democrat. But in order to invest in the public goods that we need investment in, the infrastructure, the education, and our skills training, we need to be able to work together and figure out a way through that. So one person can make a difference. He makes a difference with one other person, and then they each make a difference, and pretty soon it gets kind of contagious, you know, that, hey, I want to sit down with those people because they get things done. They don't just go up there and talk about it. They get things done, irregardless of whether you're in the majority or minority.
Okay, down to just a couple minutes. Let me ask you about a couple of social issues. The Elliot Larson Civil Rights Act, should that be amended to include protections for gay, bisexual, lesbian,
Absolutely.
And transgender people? Would you go a step further than that and support an attempt to repeal the amendment to the state constitution that bans same-sex marriage?
Yeah, I would, yes, personally. I will tell you, as a I don't like tinkering with the constitution. You know, Proposal 2 last time from organized labor was a disaster. So, but I will tell you that my wife and I, along with the late Terry Kozeski and several other people, worked hard on the one Kalamazoo issue here in Kalamazoo a few years back. We were on the founding steering committee. We developed the language for the ballot issue and got it on the street. Absolutely. Kalamazoo County government, I was there when we were the first ones to pass the GLBT issues into our employment policies, as we cannot pass laws and ordinances, but we can put them in our employment policies. The ban on gay marriage is an insult to human beings, in my opinion.
Would you favor anything to decriminalize marijuana in the state?
You know, I don't know that much about that issue right now, but I do know there's some benefits to the medical marijuana. Decriminalizing it, I think, in a city, you know, we can't just keep filling our jail cells up with guys and gals who want to smoke a little marijuana on the weekends. But if it does lead to harder drugs and usage, and it's proven that sometimes it does, then we need to figure out how to help the people, how not just to criminalize it, but sometimes decriminalizing it helps people in their issues when they're using drugs like that too. So there's, you know, I think it's a 50-50 thing. I really do. I know being on the county board, we've had an awful lot of people sitting in our jails that all they did was smoke a joint on the weekend and got caught doing it. So,
okay. As I said, we're kind of at the end here. So yeah. I'm going to ask for a brief answer, even though this may be tough for you to give a brief answer on, but since you mentioned
yes or no are easy.
Sometimes, you did mention proposal 2 from the last election. So, if you are elected to the state house, how much energy, time, and effort would you want to put into repealing the right to work law?
I will put in whatever energy is necessary, providing there's support there to do it. I think there is support to do it. I think the right to work law was passed, perhaps illegally in a closed session. It was rushed. However, I will tell you real simply that it didn't need to be. If people would have paid attention about Proposal 2, the right to work law probably wouldn't even be on the books right now.
If Proposal 2 had passed.
If Proposal 2 hadn't even been on
the ballot. Hadn't been on the ballot.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, if you're gonna go up and work together with people and make concessions with people, you have to hold to those concessions all the way through the discussions.
Dave Buskirk, thank you for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Dave Buskirk is a candidate for the Democratic nomination in Michigan's 60th State House District. He's also a Kalamazoo County Commissioner. And we also want to thank Yvonne Zipp of the Kalamazoo Gazette.
Thanks so much for inviting me, Gordon.
This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. There will be a new state representative in Michigan's 62nd district next year. John Bison is a physician and former president of the Michigan State Medical Society. He is seeking the Republican nomination for the district, which includes the city of Battle Creek. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, Gordon, so much for having me.
We're also joined today by Jennifer Bowman of the Battle Creek Inquirer. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And John Bison, why don't you begin by introducing yourself to our audience and telling us a little bit about your background, why you're running for State House.
Well, I come from Michigan. I have lived all over Michigan. I was born in the city of Detroit and raised in the suburbs of Detroit. I went to undergrad at Michigan State University and subsequently to medical school back at Wayne State University in Detroit. I spent a year of postgraduate medicine before going and joining the Air Force, where I spent the next 11 years. My first assignment was at a little place called K.I. Sawyer in the Upper Peninsula back when there was a military base up there. And subsequently went to San Antonio, Texas, and subsequently overseas to the Philippines. I spent 11 years in the military, becoming a lieutenant colonel, prior to returning to Battle Creek, which, after being half a world away, was back home again for me, and it was great to be back home. As you said, I spent the last year as president of the State Medical Society, and my duties would oftentimes include going to Lansing and to Washington to represent the 16,000 physicians in our society. And oftentimes I would walk into legislative offices and say, "Hi, my name is Dr. John Bison. I'm a otolaryngologist. I'm an ENT doctor, and I represent 16,000 Michigan physicians." And I would have legislators that would very courteously say, "Yes, I will listen." And I would go through whatever the spiel of the day was. We would talk about the issues and the medical society stance on those issues. And towards the end, it would not be uncommon that the legislators would say something along the lines of, "Okay, thank you very much. This is all well and good, but I'm going to check with Roger before getting back with you, and we'll let you know."
Who's and Roger?
Roger is Roger Kahn. He is a cardiologist. He is chair of appropriations in the Senate. And the last legislative session, he was the only physician in the legislature. And it seemed that even as president of the state society, even representing 16,000 Michigan physicians, the answer I got was, "All well and good, but let me check with our own, and then I'll get back with you." And it became perfectly obvious at that time that if one wants to make a difference, if one wants to really promote change, that you may have to do that as an insider rather than an outsider. And especially with Kate Siegel stepping down, it seemed like this might be an appropriate time to make that jump.
All right, then. Jennifer Bowman, let's start with questions for John Bison.
Great. So it's a crowded race, including yourself. There's two Republicans and three Democrats. It's your first time seeking public office. Do you think you have what it takes?
I'm thinking so. You know, I have an excellent organization. I have a very smart campaign manager and deputy campaign manager who are going to be helping me through this. I have consultants out of Lansing who will be helping me as well. And thus far, the medical community has been very, very supportive, as has the Calhoun County community. I have really been amazed and impressed with the number of people who have met me on the street and saying, "Go get them." A number of former patients that I've had that have come out and said, "We're going to be very, very supportive of you, and thank you so much for doing this for us."
Should note, we are recording on May 28th, the day after the minimum wage bill was approved by the House and Senate, signed into law by Governor Snyder. If you had been there as a member of the House, would you have voted for the minimum wage increase which was approved?
Well, I think a lot depends on the details of the bill, and not being there, I am not privy to all the details in the bill. Minimum wage, as I see it, is a two-edged sword. You know, you raise the limit for some of the population, but there are also some bad things that go along with raises in the minimum wage. If you're on a fixed income, typically minimum wage increases suggest that the prices that you pay for goods at the stores are going to be increasing. And also, the jobs that you have for some of the most vulnerable, some of the people who are at that minimum wage are going to evaporate. They're going to disappear as that wage goes up higher and higher. And I think that it's a balancing act that oftentimes you need to have. On the one side, there are good things. The other side, there are bad things. And I think that in the work as a legislator, you have to balance that.
Jennifer?
Well, I kind of want to stay on the topic of something that Calhoun County, although it's not unique to the area, we suffer from income inequality. And we've been lucky enough to see some job gains over the year, mostly in manufacturing. But do you think that we are on the right track as far as job creation? Are we creating the right kinds of jobs for the right kinds of opportunities for Calhoun County residents? Or could we be doing a little more diversifying?
When we talk about jobs, I think that jobs and income inequality oftentimes go hand in hand. And if you ask me, are we preparing our youth for the jobs of the future adequately? I'd have to say I'm not certain that we are. I mean, I take a look at our graduation numbers, even in Calhoun County, for those graduating who are currently in the ninth grade. What is our percentage of those who enter the ninth grade graduating from the 12th grade? And as I understand it, that number is around 76%. And that means that 24% of the students in the ninth grade are not going to be graduating from the 12th grade. And what kind of job opportunities do they have if they are going through? I go and I talk to shop owners and they say, you know, we need people who are qualified to work in our shop. And that may involve some background in robotics. That may involve technical skills such as wiring or computer skills, running the robots. It may involve body work. It may involve plumbing or electrical works. And, you know, I don't know that we're giving those people the opportunity to leave school and actively enter a job. And I'd consider that a failure. You need to be able to get out there, and we need to train our kids. And not everyone is destined for college. But if we have those that are interested in college, I think that they ought to have opportunities and ought to be well-educated so they don't end up in remedial classes when they try to go to college. And if they aren't going to college, then we ought to have them on a track that gives them the necessary skills to succeed in life.
Well, let's talk about how people get to jobs, i.e. Michigan roads, which almost everyone is in agreement are not in very good shape. What are your thoughts on some sort of a long-term solution to fund road repair, maintenance, et cetera?
I oftentimes think that government is best at the local level rather than as you get further and further up. I think that the more the people are involved in their government, the better that government is. When we talk about road funding, I was impressed and amazed that Jace Bolger, our dear speaker, took a look at the budget and says, yes, I found an extra $450 million. I'd like to throw this at the roads. And I think that in many ways, roads funding has to be a priority. And we need to make that road funding. And I would say that perhaps that road funding ought to flow all the way down to the townships where they know where the greatest needs are. That when you repair a road, I would agree that we need guarantees on the road. We spend millions of dollars patching holes in our roads. And the next season, you have those same potholes in the same places. And if you were to ask me, did we really fix that road? I'd have to scratch my head a little bit and say, maybe not. Back in the 1930s, Germany was making roads that lasted 30, 40, 50, 70 years. And it just astounds me that we can't make roads that last more than a season when the technology is out there. And maybe it includes changes in technology. Maybe we need to use innovative surfaces to cover the road so that they last 10 years longer. Maybe, you know, we need a different system, a more competitive system to get the best price for our roads and make sure that there are guarantees and long-term.
The Calhoun County Board of Commissioners has, you know, they've really applauded Speaker Bolger's proposal that's come out. But they've also said that that's not enough. And there's a whole lot of money we're going to need to fix these roads. And they've discussed a possible countywide road millage. Townships are discussing that. if there isn't that funding that Lansing can allocate, I mean, is that the way that the discussion should go?
I think that I would wait until we saw what the state government was going to do. You know, Speaker Richardville is talking about, I want to say, $1.6 billion per year.
Senate Majority Leader.
Senate Majority Leader Richardville is talking about $1.6 billion on an annual basis, on an ongoing basis.
And Governor Snyder is about in that same ballpark, too.
1.2, or I'm sure he could be talked up to 1.6. That wouldn't be much of an argument for him. And you're right, but my answer would be, let's wait and see what the state is going to do before we start taxing our citizens here locally. I mean, as I read the Constitution, as I read Public Act 51, it says that the counties are, and the state is responsible for the roads. And I think we ought to give them the opportunity to live up to the law.
At the state level, if you were a state representative, would you consider an increase in the gas tax, an increase in vehicle fees to pay for road maintenance?
I think there's always a balance that you have to have, and I would look at that as being a possibility. Increasing taxes is not my very most favorite answer to any question, but you have to take a look at the good and the bad in each proposition that comes forth, and due diligence is required. You do your homework, and you listen to the people and see what they want to do, and you know, that all helps in the formation of your answer.
Jennifer?
I kind of want to switch over to a different topic. A couple months ago, as I'm sure you may know, Kellogg made an announcement to move some jobs to the Grand Rapids area. And it caused quite an uproar from the community. Elected officials kind of chimed in. There was a lot of criticism kind of from Mark Schauer against Governor Snyder about going, this is your hometown, this is something you should fight for to keep these jobs in your hometown. On the other side of the coin, they're saying the jobs are staying in Michigan. I mean, if you were in Lansing at that time, what would you have done?
Boy, that's a hypothetical question. It's hard to say. You know, I am looking forward to working with the Kellogg Company. I'm looking forward to working with all of our business leaders trying to keep jobs in Calhoun County. You know, that's going to be one of my priorities. The reason that I want to go to Lansing is to make sure that we get well represented. And you don't do that by staying in a shell. You don't do that by just staying in your office. You need to interact with the business community. You need to interact with the schools, with the citizens in your community. I would have been happy to sit down and talk with them and see what we need to do in order to make Kellogg successful. Because I think that's what they're out for, but to see if we can't help Calhoun County in the same process.
All right, I'm going to ask you a question dealing with medicine.
Oh, no, this is terrible.
Do you believe that the state did the right thing by expanding Medicaid?
The Medicaid expansion, if you were to ask me about our health care in general, I would tell you that I feel that our health care system is failing way too many people. That our healthcare is too expensive, that our healthcare system, in my mind, is somewhat broken. And in my mind, adding another 500,000 people to a program may not be the absolute best answer. In many ways, I think that we need to fix our healthcare system. And once we have it fixed, then we need to take care of the population. You know, being an old military officer, you leave no soldier behind. You leave no one behind. And I would love to see everyone taken care of in a system. But I think that we need to get that system right first before we do that.
John Bizon, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me out, Gordon.
John Bizon is a physician. He's the former president of the Michigan State Medical Society. He is running for the Republican nomination in Michigan's 62nd State House District. And we also want to thank Jennifer Bowman of the Battle Creek Inquirer.
Thanks for having me.
Other candidates running in contested primary elections for State House, Senate, and Congress have been invited for interviews on West Southwest. You'll be hearing those in the weeks ahead. Longer versions of interviews and more information can always be found at WMUK.org. And West Southwest is now on twice a week. Join us Monday and Thursday mornings at 9:20. This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.